Welcome to Transform Now, the podcast brought to you by robotic process automation pioneer Blue Prism. Digital transformation has the potential to reshape the way companies service their customers, engage their employees, and manage their operations. Whether you're looking to develop strategies, tactics, and best practices to positively impact the future of work, or you're curious to learn how other companies have successfully navigated their digital transformation programs, then this podcast is for you. We're here to help you transform now.
Good day, everybody. This is Duff Glazer from Blue Prism. I'm very happy today to introduce Ben Berkowitz from Mass General Brigham to talk about enterprise automation and how it affects lives. Ben has been a customer of Blue Prism for a couple of years, and they are doing some wonderful things over there. Why don't I turn it over to you, Ben, to introduce yourself.
Thanks, Steph. My name is Benjamin Berkowitz. I am the Director of Intelligent Automation for Mass General Brigham, based in Boston, Massachusetts. We're the largest healthcare provider in Eastern Massachusetts, with also hospitals in New Hampshire as well. We have over 80,000 employees, 13 plus hospitals, an educational institution, and we're a Harvard teaching school as well. So we are quite a large organization, and I'm really happy to be here with you today, Doc.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And your time is always valuable to us. Let me ask you a quick question. You've been doing intelligent automation now for almost 3 years. What were the drivers that really started this at Mass General Brigham?
Yeah. So it's such an interesting story. Prior to this role, I was in revenue cycle operations and reported into the vice president of rev cycle. And one day, as I was doing the bus for the department, which at the time had over 700 employees, I just looked around and I said, we have a lot of really smart people here that understand healthcare, and they're doing really menial tasks. There's really got to be a better way for us to do the work that we do. And a few weeks later, we had a visioning session and started thinking about what does this really mean? Like, how can we work with our employees, use their knowledge of healthcare and better, you know, serve our patients by, you know, turning over claims, answering the phone faster, getting their claims paid, explaining why they have a copay in a much more efficient manner. And that was the nugget, the genesis of how this all started. And very quickly, we realized that we needed technology to assist there. Now, healthcare, I'd say, is a bit of a lagger in terms of adopting technology. Lots of other industries tend to be a little bit faster than us. But Mass General Brigham is one of the leaders in adapting new technology. So as we put together a profile of what automation would look like, well, we very much had rev cycle in mind, the revenue cycle processes in mind, and it's one of the areas that we could start with. What's funny is that as soon as we started talking about this, two other departments also said, wait a minute, we also have a lot of smart people in our departments. We also have a lot of transactional work, and we want to pilot this as well. And so we added on human resources and finance as we began our journey. And I think what we quickly realized were two things. One, that the hypothesis of can automation work in healthcare was true. We can use automation in healthcare and it can be very successful. And second, that, you know, the hard work is really about making sure your process, you understand your process at the end of the day. What we've found across all of our three sort of pilot areas, and I can talk a little bit later where we are now, was that we really needed to make sure that we were understanding how the process worked today, and that there was a bit of process improvement before we were ready to put a bot on it. And that was okay. Bots working more efficiently than even the people were when they were doing that work. But for those who are thinking about starting a journey or maybe halfway through their journey, they may have realized this, but it certainly was one of our biggest lessons learned as we started the program.
Yeah, one of the things that's really struck me since I started working with you about 18 months ago was you really have addressed the change management inside of Mass General Brigham to bring in automation. So where you were a year ago compared to where you are today, have you really embraced that? Has your organization really embraced automation as a cost takeout as well as possibly a revenue save?
Yeah. So I think there's a couple of ways to look at it. So first, the change management piece, I think what we did was we involved a lot of different parties from the beginning. So as I mentioned, I was in RevCycle before I took on this role and started expanding this program, but I'm not an IT professional. But I understand healthcare and I understand the business of healthcare because I've been in various different departments on that. But I involved our IT professionals, our analytic groups, obviously our HR, finance, RevCycle, and others, including compliance, to make sure that all of the change that was going to go on was controlled, was documented, and managed in such a way that the path didn't go wild. And I think it was really important for us to put that structure down, that compliance structure, that governance structure around it. And that's really enabled us to grow very quickly. It's also enabled the organization to feel comfortable about it because there was a lot of skepticism as we began. So that was the first, your first part of the question, Duff. I forgot the second now.
The second is, if you look at yourself from where you were a year ago to where you are to that adoption has sped up unbelievably. The way that you're embracing these, you name your bots, you have birthday parties for your bots when they're born. There's really a cultural acceptance around this third group of employees that you have now adopted.
There definitely is. And we're now live in 10 different functional areas across our enterprise. So we started, as I mentioned, with 3, and now we're in 10 different areas. And there's cultural acceptance, I think, in the areas we've been in longest. And then there is a brand new welcome to the bot world for those who haven't experienced it yet. But that being said, it's very interesting because we have, as I mentioned, over a dozen hospitals in our system. And when I go out and I talk to new departments and start asking them where there might be opportunities for automation, they say, oh, we've heard about BettyBot, which is one of our most famous bots. And so they already know what it is and what it does and how it impacts them on a daily basis. And we have several bots that really impact almost every single one of our employees. We have a payroll bot that definitely impacts every employee. So people have gotten used to it. And I think one of the things that we did, you mentioned, we name them, we have birth certificates, birthday parties. Their teams really see them as a coworker. And so that has helped with that change management piece as well. It didn't seem as threatening when it has a name or it works with you or it has a work queue associated with it as well. But thinking back a year ago, you know, about 13 months ago, I should say, we were just wrapping up our ramp-up period where we had trained, working in partnership with the consulting agency, we had just trained up a whole bunch of individuals so that we had repurposed from their previous jobs into bot builders, or we call them automation developer, to be able to create this program and sustain it using those developers. So we trained, I think, about 12, if I remember correctly. We now have about 17 trained developers across the enterprise, a few additional ones. We had, I want to say, around 12 processes live about a year ago. Now we have over 35, maybe even 36. There's goal on a weekly basis. So sometimes I'm a little behind the curve in terms of where my numbers, but we went from a pretty modest savings of a few $100,000 to now over $10 million. And so to answer your question, Duff, of what does savings mean? And so that's quite rough, by the way. So we'll go $100,000 to over $10 million in savings. So we measure impact, or I should say impact instead of savings. Measure savings and impact in a variety of different ways, and we've refined this over time. And I think it's important to really understand where the ROI is coming from as you go down this journey. So obviously there's hours saved, which tends to be the currency of automation. How many hours are you pulling out from workers doing that work day in and day out? The other piece that we've actually realized is as important, if not more important in some cases, is the added hours that the bot can do that humans or employees would never be able to do. So we have 2 bots in particular that are doing the work out of 130 people. And those departments didn't have to hire 130 people to do that work. And that's a tremendous amount of savings, right? That's a tremendous amount of work being done on a daily basis. And that's something that we didn't anticipate going into it at all, but has really become something that organizations, or I should say departments within our organization, are really looking for, particularly post-COVID, where focus is going into very critical areas. There's a lot of process improvement going on, as you can imagine. People are spending, putting their resources in where it matters most, but then there's still other work that needs to get done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that has been an unexpected benefit of having digital workers pick up where people are going to lead that work and go on to value add work within the organization, or could never get to the mountains of work that they could in the past. And we're quite literally leaving money on the table because they couldn't get to that work. That we can deploy digital workers to do that work for us and start to bring in that revenue, or realize that revenue, or secure that revenue if we weren't sure if it was secure before.
Sure.
And that leads me to the last piece, is revenue. That's another measure that we include in that. And in some areas, supply chain, revenue cycle, as I mentioned before, there are bots that actually either save dollars, like physical dollars, or help generate revenue that wasn't there before, or accelerate it in the sense of putting it into our coffers a little bit faster than we could in the past. And there's downstream impacts to the balance sheet if you're able to do that.
Yeah, what you're touching on is just so important, especially in today's environment post-COVID. We all know the impact that COVID had on hospitals and the closed down of operating rooms, the closed down of other departments, and the loss of revenue, et cetera. Are there any landmark metrics that drive you when you think about coming out of this period right now, we're almost in a post-COVID period. I don't want to be too prophetic. As you move forward now, after what we've just experienced, are there any landmark metrics that you're looking towards that really help drive your adoption and drive your vision of what your Department of Intelligent Automation can be?
If I were up in a room full of people, I would ask, then who feels burned out after COVID? And I'm sure I would get a whole bunch of hands. Maybe people would mentally raise their hands, but I'm sure I'd get a lot of hands raised.
Yeah.
And that's one of the areas that we're starting to move into, is to address, in particular, physician, and to start to take some of those administrative functions away from the physician. So we're working very closely with our physician organization on some pilot projects there, utilizing both Blue Prism and some other partners of Blue Prism, in particular Abby, to help them with some of the work that they're doing, so that they have more free time to spend with their patients, whether they're seeing them virtually still or whether they're in the actual examining room with their patient. So I think that's really the focus in the next, I'd say, is really to work on those areas where people are just simply burned out and they shouldn't be doing these manual things anymore. And we offer that resource for them to think about it a little bit differently. So both on the operational side, but particularly on the clinical side as well.
Yeah. You've done a masterful job with your organization in the way that you're working with your system of record for your hospital. I would probably say you're on the burning edge of doing things in automation with Epic. Can you give me an idea, or give our viewers an idea, of where you're going to try to take that? Because it really is the augmentation of an electronic medical record inside of healthcare is so important because it touches so many areas. So the ability to make that more extensible and more use is critically important to the organization. Can you tell me what your views on that are and how you view that from a futuristic standpoint?
So I think there's Epic, for those who don't know, is our system of record, our EMR. There's two pretty big players in the space, Cerner and Epic. And we have a pretty partnership with Epic, and working with Blue Prism 3+ years ago, it was about 3 years ago now, when we started this journey, we were one of the first to work with Epic, and I have now a very good relationship with them in terms of what we're doing with their system and with other systems as well that integrate with Epic and Blue Prism. When I think about what we can do with Epic and what we can do with our EMR, it's really those white spaces, that in-between space is where we're focusing. So a lot of our automations right now are working with third-party applications or websites or pair websites, things along those lines where Epic really doesn't have the ability to go out and check that information in its sort of out of the box. There's other elements that we're looking to additionally utilize the Blue Prism and other partnerships with. And so if you think about what does the future look like, I think of checks. I think of Bank of America or Chase or, you know, Wells Fargo, when you can deposit a check at your home, right? And which is amazing. And by taking a picture of it, we're starting to think about the best ways to make sure that we have your correct information for your healthcare, whether it's your insurance card, whether it's your Medicaid card or Medicare card. And by taking screenshots of that or taking a picture of it on your phone at home, we can run all sorts of verification behind the scenes using Blue Prism. To make sure that when you come in for that appointment, all your insurance information is correct. You know exactly what your copay is going to be. The bill is going to go out the door and get paid with little to no friction from the payers or from our revenue cycle process. And we already have some bots that do a lot of that verification already. So it's really starting to build out some of the I would say, building block automation that we have to extend beyond elements of the revenue cycle. And I'd also say on the clinical side as well, there's a lot of and lots of insight that I'm getting from our partnerships and the POs of where we can assist them as well on the clinical side of things. And in that case, it's a little less going to obviously third-party websites and integration there. We're really just taking some workload off of staff there and having them focus on different areas, like I said before, you know, the actual clinical work to be done. But it's the potential is endless. By way of just as an anecdote, I was having a conversation with someone in our ambulatory centers. They're opening a few new shops around Massachusetts, Eastern Massachusetts. And they're trying to figure out their staffing model. And as I was having this conversation and telling them about the program, they said, well, maybe we need to rethink our staffing model if some of these bots can really do all this work for us. Maybe we don't need as much staff as we thought we did, and we can use digital workers instead. Certainly the word is out and the momentum is gaining as we continue to think about opportunities across the enterprise.
Yeah, I think what you're touching on is, I think, something that you and I have had many a conversation about is that patient journey, that patient experience, because that really all does, it connects the dots from the front office, the virtual door of a hospital, all the way through billing and et cetera. And if we can look at the way that the patient experience is affected by digital workers positively, that has a, for lack of a better analogy, a waterfall effect, because it's going to affect your HEDIS scores, it's going to affect your NCQA ratings, and that goes into reimbursement, blah, blah. It connects all of those dots. I guess the question I had then is, when you start getting into the clinical world, and there are so many variables involved when you start talking about patients and that patient journey, have you started looking at what those type of success metrics might be from that perspective, or are we still a bit futuristic?
For us, it's a bit futuristic. I think we were, and still are, our bread and butters are the back-end systems, the back-end processes. And like I said, I'm just starting to dip my toe in those clinical areas. And they still tend to be the back-end processes, the back-end areas where we can function. But I will say, thinking futuristically, definitely opportunities in those spaces. However, that changes the model a little bit. All right. As advice to those who are either thinking of going there or to share of how I'm thinking, you really now become a 24-hour, 7 days a week monitoring shop. And I do enjoy sleeping, so that would be me or my staff who enjoy sleeping. But you have to really think through that model, because the importance, obviously, of clinical care is what is always forefront in our minds at Mass General Program and mine as well. It's all about embracing and changing and making the patient experience better every single day. And as we think about deploying bots there, we are already starting to think about how does that model change to make sure that the bots are running and doing what we expect them to do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, what happens when it hits a snag that we never expected or didn't encounter in testing or what have you? So we look a little bit more towards our IT colleagues who support our systems 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to borrow some of their models of how to do that. But it doesn't quite fit real processes, real world processes, versus setting up an application and making sure that it's running. And so some questions you need to think about is, if there is something that kicks out of the process, right, who's on staff to answer your questions? So during working hours, I can pick up the phone or I can, we have Teams channels that I can ask those questions. But what happens in the clinical space when you may not be able to reach a clinical professional to answer those questions? So we're thinking through all those before we really take a deep dive in, because we don't want to get tripped up in a space that is just so important for us.
I think one of the most, you touched on so many different nerves. How's that for using a medical analogy in your statement right there? And I think probably the best advice you ever gave me, and I learned from you, is treat us like a business, not just a hospital, and look at our whole business and things like that. And what I'm hearing from you, which is, I think, unbelievably valuable to everybody, is that Mass General Brigham is a full encompassing business. That it's not just, we keep our focus on the patient, that's number one, just like TJ Maxx keeps its focus on the customer. But there are so many other workflows that we can automate that impact our business, such as you and I were talking about facilities management, enterprise asset management. You have to manage all of these things. Is that on your roadmap as you look at your automation roadmap going forward? That you move from the back office, you look at the front office, but now let's go wider and deeper inside the organization where there is cost savings and also revenue opportunities.
Yes, so exactly. So what's where we started were very much enterprise-wide processes. So for example, payroll is an enterprise-wide process. The rep cycle, as I mentioned, enterprise-wide process. Supply chain, for the most part, is an enterprise-wide process. 30-plus bots that I mentioned before are really enterprise-wide. The other 5-plus that I mentioned in the 35-plus, some of those are really specific to the hospitals. And that's one of the challenges I think that we're facing is that each hospital does things slightly differently. And so it raises another challenge at the end of the day in terms of our roadmap is how do we fit into that change management discussion to say, look, we have a very important process that we want to have automated, but we do it slightly differently across 3 different hospitals. And so those are the types of questions as we look at our roadmap is, how do we best integrate with our process improvement team, who's excellent, who we partnership on many different elements, bringing them in to help us organize that component or that process so that then we can apply automation to it. And we're even deploying in our roadmap. This was one of the goals for this year, and as just finished pilot, is start to use data or process mining to help guide those conversations. Many people are starting the journey or have great ideas in their mind, and you go and you process, you map out the process, you estimate the hours, and you realize that wasn't as juicy as I thought it was when I first thought of it. And so we're becoming a little bit more sophisticated to start to use data to drive where to look or what to automate, or what to partner with our colleagues in process improvement to really increase, for lack of a better term, the bang for the buck. And some of those processes may not have been on people's minds, right? And they may not have bubbled up to say, wow, we really should do recalls or something along those lines. But once you start looking at the data, it tells you a very different story.
Yeah, I think what you've educated me on and imparted really shows that Mass General Brigham has really adapted while adapting what we call our robotic operating model, our ROM, you've really taken that to a next step in the way that you have instilled governance and cadence across your enterprise. I know that we've been part of steering committee meetings. We've been part of education presentations to your supply chain people and et cetera. Do you see your enterprise model evolving as you move forward? You've touched on a lot of areas from clinical to back office to business process, et cetera. Is there anything else that you see from an enterprise adoption standpoint that your future holds for you?
Yeah, one of the reasons we've been successful is that I'm not an, nor do I pretend that my team are experts in the 10 different functional areas that we have automations live. And there's no way I would know what to do in decision support versus pharmacy versus parts of finance and certainly HR. But we have the term thrown around now is citizen developers. I call them distributed developers. Developers who really understand the processes within those departments that we work with that help identify, build out, and are really, and build out automations, and that really are ambassadors in those areas. And so once we've identified those groups of people, now we have a pipeline. I said we have 30 plus live. We have a pipeline of 30 plus. That we're still churning through. And that list keeps growing each and every month. I think what we're going to continue with that model, because I think the business in some ways, right, the data, the process mining, the data mining is going to tell us one story. But also the department is going to tell us a different story. Maybe the same story, maybe this process really is just a drag and a time suck for our team. But the department may also say, look, we have a strategic priority. And it is different from the time suck right now. And we need this addressed tomorrow. And having those distributed developers across the enterprise just helps us continue to grow exponentially rather than just having a centralized team. Now, we do also have a centralized team as well that will continue to build out and support those distributed developers. So I think that model will stay and continue to expand. But the question then is, and the question that I'm still trying to figure out is, when you get to, back to my earlier point, when you get to a process that is slightly different across all of the institutions that we support, what benefits the overall enterprise? How do we best manage that? Because we don't want to have three separate processes built out for each hospital when they could all be just rolled up under one. So that's how we're thinking through the model as we continue to grow. But that nucleus of our steering committee helping guide us, provide advice, making sure we're keeping ourselves honest with our savings targets and where and when to bring on complementary technologies to Blue Prism and where to deploy them. But that's worked very well. And that also is engaging the C-suite and leadership in ways that shows them that this is a tool for them to use as well in their various different departments that they support and champion as well. So they have also been our ambassadors that help us be successful here. And so that, I think, is that buy-in has been key at the end of the day.
That's fantastic. I can't thank you enough for the time that you afforded us today. You guys are teaching us. We're taking what you teach us and we're incorporating it into what we offer you and how we support you. Again, thank you very much, Ben, and thank you for helping our organization and our customers.
Thank you, Doug. It's my pleasure.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Transform Now. For more insightful discussions on digital transformation and more, check out our podcast channel where you'll find all of our previous episodes. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast player. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review. For more information about digital transformation and the future of work, check out blueprism.com to learn how Blue Prism's digital workforce is enabling enterprise transformation now.